Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I would like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who listens to this podcast. Tonight, I'm going to talk about when comfort replaces passion. Do our relationship improve? So do me a favor, sit back and relax, and I'm going to be right back with the question of the night. Okay, we are back. So the question tonight is, have you ever craved someone? There's nothing to be gained by denying yourself your desires. Have you ever craved someone? Have you ever had that need to just be around someone that you just love and cherish and can't live without? That's a powerful feeling. That's one of the most powerful feelings that you're going to ever encounter in a relationship. I know, one of my cravings is chocolate. I love chocolate and wine. But now that I'm older and I kind of like have curved the alcohol thing, you know, I don't drink as much as I used to, especially with with me getting a little older and wanting to be a little bit more healthier. But I still have that taste for chocolate, and I'm talking about chocolate candy, of course. And one of my favorites are Kit Kats. I know as a kid I used to have these phases where I would have a favorite piece of chocolate, like Almond Joys, or now Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Kit Kats and Snickers. Those three are like in a dog fight as far as, you know, me liking them. But overall, I would have to say Kit Kat is my favorite piece of chocolate. And if you've never had a Kit Kat and some wine, give it a try. Oh my God. That thing is like a taste of heaven, even though I don't know what heaven tastes like. But I can imagine, in my world, eating a piece of, eating a Kit Kat and drinking some Boone's Farm. Drinking some Boone's Farm or some Zinfandel or some Blush, you know, goes well with a piece of chocolate. So that's my cream. That's my guilty pleasure. But tonight I'm going to, you know, define what craving is and whether it's good or bad. And for the most part, I think craving, you know, craving for someone or having cravings can be good. I don't really see it as a bad thing unless that person is toxic or unless that person gives you their ass to kiss and really don't give two shits about you. And yeah, that might be a bad thing to crave somebody who don't know that you exist or who just treats you like shit. We sometimes yearn for something to understand us and be there when everything seems to go wrong. A saying goes like this: I count my blessings and not my pains. But if you find yourself in a rut and things are getting you down, try putting yourself in your lover's shoes. They probably feel the same way you do. The internet has brought us to many things, you know, the ability to connect with people worldwide, discover new technologies, and laugh at memes. It has also brought us something seen in books until recently, the phenomenon that is fan fiction. Fan fiction is valid. But is it fiction about characters, situations, or themes that fans have created themselves? And like in a novel, it expressed people's creativity, emotions, and intellect. Some of the things that people crave in relationships. Essence. Essence is that concept that's probably best explained as a physical need that everyone has for connection. There's something we all seek and to some extent crave. We yearn for fellowship, companionship, intimacy, and physical, along with emotional connection. The next one is time. Time is huge. Time is, I never knew how precious time was until I turned 50. Up until the age of 50, I kind of like, I got time. But when you're 50 and you realize you're half a century old, and you see how night easily become day and vice versa. Soon as you put your head down the pillow and get back up, it's time to get back up. You understand the concept of time. Human beings have this desire for time and a need for time in human functioning. Human beings cannot live without time, but we understand that time does not mean the same thing to everyone. In modern society, time is money. People value time. They spend much of their time at work. And when it comes to relationships, people put a lot of time into their relationships. And if they don't get satisfaction or what they feel that they have placed into a relationship back, then that's time they have wasted, and no one has time to waste. Now, you can waste a little time with work. You can kind of like finesse when it comes to a job and pretty much everything else. But in relationships, there's no room or no time to waste. Because if I'm going to be with you every fucking second, every minute, every hour, every half an hour, every day counts. And if we're wasting time, if we're not building, if we're not creating what we have or sustaining what we have, we're wasting time. And I don't have time to waste. And that's one thing that many don't understand until it's too late. When my ex-wife divorced me, it was like time shot by. Because when we was together, even though we had good times and some bad times, I knew I had time to be with her. I knew I had time to make amends for the wrong that I did, or to spend time with our family, or to, pick her up from work and just have a good conversation about what's going on with her. Even though we may have went through some stuff, I still had time with that woman to grow with her, to possibly save our marriage, but it didn't work that way. So when we got divorced, it was like every other woman I met, time flew. We had a good time, but then I went home or they went home, and it was like, that was it. And then I tried to build other relationships similar to what I had with my ex-wife, but it was never the same. That person could never give me what my ex-wife gave. And my ex-wife gave me a lot. She gave me a lot. I mean, she... I'm not putting her on the pedestal. But I understand the concept of marriage now. Back then, I didn't. I thought I knew. I thought I could look at her parents and, look at movies and be happily ever after. But that didn't work for me. That didn't work for us. So once she was out my life, and we still had to deal with each other because of the kids when they were younger. But as they got older, especially when my son turned 18, the time started. Even though we didn't have no type of relationship other than the kids, we were still cordial. But then that went away. You know what I'm saying? Because we only had one child that we had to talk about, because my son was of age and he was a young man. So there was nothing really keeping us giving us a reason to talk other than my daughter. And that was only for like a brief minute, because we still had the situation going on with her when my son was you know, of that age where I had to help raise him. So when you are dealing with time in a relationship, it is vital. Understand that it is very important not to waste it. The next one is presence. A person longing for another presence is a yearning from others' physical presence, which is most often associated with the physical company of the... Let me read that again. A person longing for another's presence is a yearning for the other's physical presence, which is most often associated with the physical company of the other in the romantic relationship. The longing can encompass many types of relationships, including friendships, booty calls, marriage, and everything under the umbrella. Kissing, which is very overrated. Very underrated. Kissing is the appetizer to any relationship. To any physical type relationship. In this day and age, it's straight fucking. But when I was coming up, kissing was important. I would kiss my girlfriend, and I lived 20 miles away from my girlfriend. So to get a kiss from her and to ride 20 miles on my 10 speed back home was one of the greatest feelings of that day. And for me, it was like I had to have the next kiss. When I walked into my room and closed my door from everybody, like my brothers and my sisters and my mom sometimes, who was like yakety yak, you know, because I didn't come home at a certain time, I couldn't wait to kiss my girlfriend the next day or the day after. So I sat there and I would just talk to her on the phone or look at her picture and just fucking crave to feel those nice soft lips on my lips again. Oh my God. That's 40 some years ago? Woo! And it still rings true. Meaning that if I think about it, I'm not saying that I want to kiss her, but the strength of it, or the impact that it had on me back then, if I think about it, it still has that same impact. I mean, I don't want to be with her, I don't want to kiss her, but it was so fucking incredible. It's one of those memories that stays with me, you know? The emotional need people have for kissing is so important that at moments it's almost irresistible. Many people can recount their best kiss from a memory of how it felt in their body, mind, and emotions. Just what I went through. That little period I just went through, that's what I experienced with that thought of that kiss. And it was funny because it took forever for her to kiss me. I mean, shit, I would walk her across the schoolyard. I think I walked her across the schoolyard maybe 3 or 4 months before we even... Because she didn't like me at first. She didn't like my ass. She thought I was a jerk. So I had to really work for that first kiss. Believe that. But after that, every time I look, I was getting a kiss, boy. We was sneaking kiss, or if I was over to her parents' house, we'd do like a little quick kiss, or you know, whatever. And oh my God. Woo! Let me stop. The next one is consistency. The thing people yearn for in relationship is consistency. People desire for their relationship to be consistent all the time, no matter what, at every single point of that relationship. First, they need consistency with their partners, and then with themselves. they want everyone to agree and respond to the same way to different scenarios. I'm sorry, they want their partners to agree and respond to the same way they deal with different scenarios. People need consistency in all aspects of that relationship. A consistent relationship means that people enjoy being in each other's presence. It builds trust. People feel safe in relationship with others. Being in a relationship means being committed and communicating. And to do that, you have to be open and honest and consistent. To wrap this up, in summary, you have you ever yearned for someone to a point that it hurts? Have you ever desired someone who has betrayed you? Have you ever longed for someone who has hurt someone that you love? All that is craving. Some good, and even though I didn't think it was bad, some bad. So I'll be right back with the topic of that. So we are back with the topic of tonight. When comfort replaced passion, do our relationships improve? I feel that they do. Now, you asked me this question 20 years ago, I've been like, hell nah. Passion always outranks comfort. Because if you got passion, you'll eventually find comfort. But being a man of a certain age and who has settled down mentally, emotionally, sexually, and spiritually, comfort is definitely more important to me than passion. Because passion is like, it's going to be there. It's a no-brainer. It will happen. When you are with someone or when you meet someone, you're going to feel some type of energy between the both of you, and that automatically leads to passion. Some of us gravitate towards comfort over passion for our relationships, point blank. According to a study that I read about, choices may lead to lackluster or satisfying relationships. And I think that's for some people, and I also think that that's not for a large amount of people. I don't think a lot of people experience that lackluster or unsatisfying feelings. The study also found that relationships improve when people choose comfort over passion. People have more connected and tend to be a little bit more intimate. And they have more of an enjoyable connection or conversation or whatever it is that helps them grow or help them feel fulfilled in their relationships. In short, when we prioritize comfort over excitement, we end up with a better overall experience. I know once I was going through a rough patch in the relationship, and both of us realized we had to stop doing things we enjoyed it together. You know, we felt like it was just too much to be going through the negativity and trying to, you know, go on dates and be physically, you know, together and being affectionate. And we just stopped being passionate about everything, pretty much. That involved the relationship. It was like we were just going through the motions, just, you know, being together. And that shit didn't feel good. That was like, it was just like coexisting just to coexist. And for me, that doesn't work. That's not a relationship that I find sustainable. It was just, I mean, when I talk about certain relationships, sometimes it can, I can see it as if I'm going through it. And the ones that's been negative or, you know, I didn't too much care about, I really don't like to go that deep into it. But like I said, it's like as I talk about it, I see it. It's like a reenactment. I think comfort can sometimes be the missing piece that a relationship needs. The joy that a partner, you know, brings into life is called comfort. One finds solace in the love of another person. That spark that makes the relationship exciting is comfort. Comfort is knowing that you are not alone, even when you are. That's a strong statement. To know that you are not alone, even when you are. Because a lot of people can't handle being alone. Can't handle loneliness. They actually need a physical presence next to them or in the next room. They don't even have to love you or be around you, they just need to know that you're there. I mean, I have heard so many stories about guys saying that I wanted to just leave and she wouldn't let me, but she didn't want to do anything. Not so much sex, but she just didn't want to, she wanted to like just keep me there and know that I was there. She would have the PlayStation set up or, you know, food, but then she would just go about her day as if, you know, I wasn't there, but she wanted me there. Now, I haven't had too many experiences like that. I can think of maybe one or two. But if I felt like, even if I felt like that was about to happen or it was, you know, coming down the pipe, I would easily dismiss myself from that person, that relationship, or any type of connection we had. Because I can't live my life like that. You can't hold me hostage just because you need to know where I'm at or you need to just have me around and not be into me or entertain me or, you know, we do stuff together. I just don't get that concept, you know. But for some people, that's comfort. That's comfort over passion, you know. That's their way of you know, feeling like everything is all right without having to, you know, give you a kiss, screw you, whatever. You know? And it's very selfish. Extremely selfish. But a lot of people don't look at that. They don't look at the selfishness. They don't look at, you know, they're being wrong for keeping, you know, hostage to a degree. You know? I think with comfort being that missing piece, it can be that extra visual piece that pushes you over the edge and gets you to click. You know, if there's a struggle to build a relationship or to have a strong relationship, once you decide to put passion to the side and just, you know, make each other comfortable. Make each other comfortable in the things that you need to be comfortable, then eventually the comfort starts to fade. Well, not fade, but takes the back seat. And then passion becomes the person in charge, or becomes that lead horse. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's, you have to come to a point where you understand what the problem is. You understand that what you've tried before doesn't work, and you have to be willing to give something else a try and both be on the same page and wholeheartedly try to, you know, mend the relationship or fix it or make it more where it's balanced with both passion and comfort. And vice versa. Our relationships improve when we stop trying to impress each other just to enjoy each other. I'm sorry. Our relationships improve when we stop trying to impress each other. Our relationship improves when we stop trying to impress each other and enjoy being together. That's what I meant to say. Whether married, dating, or just good friends, everyone in a relationship wants their partner to like them. Point blank, period. As much as we want our partners to like us, we want our partners to like us without condition. Period. Just like me. Just know that you're not wasting your time. Just know that I like you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. Let's just strip all the bullshit and just really get to know each other and spend time. That's how most relationships start out. That's if nobody don't come into the relationship with an agenda. If you come into the relationship with your own angle or with your own need being important, then you're not going to have the successful relationship that you need or you want. We become so focused on expressing others, we lose sight of our most important relationship, which is the relationship that we're trying to develop. When you date someone you like, don't love, you may try to impress them. You may put on your best outfit and attempt to look your best when dating. You're trying to love, but you don't impress them. You do what makes you happy. You buy them gifts, you take them to nice dinners. You do all of that because you're trying to find that level of comfort. You're trying to get... I think a lot of people, they don't let shit just happen. They feel like they got to go in there and just make it happen. And most times, you don't have to do shit but be present and be honest. If you got those two things going, any relationship that you want will develop, because you're bearing your soul, you're letting people know who you are, you're being honest and open, and you're being present. And that right there is enough glue to hold any relationship. And a lot of people take that for granted. They just think that, you know, I can go in here and make it happen because I got nice breasts. Well, I can go into a relationship and get her to love me or spend time with me because I'm going to put her to sleep when we have sex. Nah, a lot of times it's not physical. A lot of times it's not physical. Because like I said before, the physical stuff is going to happen. It's going to blossom. It's going to grow. It's going to be present once you're comfortable. When you become comfortable first and you realize that, hey, this is the person I'm digging on, this is the person I'm fucking with, then the passion will immediately come. Over time, more physical comfort means more emotional comfort relationship for couples, because material comfort often equates with emotional support. This statement is why emotionally comfort lovers are delighted with their relationships, because they realize that they have the support of one another. And with the support of one another, then you're going to be comfortable. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to want to fuck. You're going to want to do nasty ass shit together. But you got to understand what is your starting point. What is going to get you off the ground? What is going to be that thing that holds you together? And if it's not just getting in the bed and tearing each other's clothes off and going at it, then guess what? Comfort in one another in order to do all that. because some people may not want you to see them naked. Some people may not want you to, you know, to see them on top of them when you're having sex. Some people may not want you to see a birthmark. I mean, there's certain things that can happen which leads to being uncomfortable. But you want to, like, add passion. But then you got someone who just don't want to be passionate with you because they feel a certain way about their body. And you, but you don't understand that. Because you're thinking, okay, I got a big dick. And, you know, she got this pussy right here, so we about to get it on. But then on the flip side, she's sitting there like, are my tits too big? Do he like women with big tits? Will my tits get in the way of us having sex if I get on top of him and they just flopping everywhere? It's little shit of, it's the little shit of feeling uncertainty, being uncomfortable, that will prevent you from not having great passion. In order to replace comfort or to have a sense of being comfortable or to be in a relationship, you must be able to cope and change. You must be able to cope with change and conflict. Relationships are inevitable. But how you handle them will make all the difference between a failing relationship and one that flourishes. In relationships, we must be able to cope with change and conflict. Are you able to adapt and overcome challenging situations like being uncomfortable? Do you speak up when someone's hurting your feelings about you not being passionate? Are you able to forget? Are you able to forgive and forget if someone come at you because of what you're not doing, or because you're not meeting their needs, or because they feel like you're not comfortable enough to open up to them? I mean, it's several scenarios. It's several things that can happen that can prevent a relationship from developing into what it could be. And if you encounter those situations, you have to be able to understand that at some point you're gonna have to deal with change and conflict. And how you deal with that change and conflict will say what type of relationship you're gonna have. Will be the base of what your relationship can be. When faced with conflict or change in a relationship, people typically react in three ways. Sometimes we perceive conflict or change as a threat. People respond defensively, trying to preserve what they have. They become hostile. Hostile and defensive threatens the relationship. And they perceive conflict and change as an opportunity, such as learning. Conflict and change can be scary sometimes. However, they're just a part of life. They are inevitable. To communicate productively, partners must understand the other's point of view and their own for a relationship to work. So, with conflict and change, it's like, in order to understand it, you have to be willing to understand. You have to be willing to change your thought process sometimes for the better of the relationship. Meaning that if you're a person that has great passion, sometimes you may have to curb that passion. Sometimes you may have to change your way of thinking. Because if you don't change it, it will eventually cause conflict. And that's why you must be able to cope with it. Because once the conflict hit the relationship, guess what? Either you're going to like continue to have that conflict, or you're going to find a change in order to get away from, or to not have conflict in the relationship. So it goes hand in hand. However you want to look at it, however it fits your narrative, at some point you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to be able to like understand what it is and change it. You're going to have to understand the conflict that exists and change it. You're going to have to understand that there's a problem. And guess what? We need to change this, or we need to go our separate ways. So it's simple when you think about it, but when you listen and you see people talking about their relationship, it's like, what is it that they don't understand that, you know, that, okay, I might need to change my point of view. I may have to put aside my passion in order for this woman to be comfortable. I may have to, you know, find a level of comfort so I can meet his passion. Hand in hand. It's not hard. It's not checkers. It's not chess. It's checkers. Plain and simple. And everybody know I play checkers. So everybody have to be willing to deal with understanding what their relationship is. Understand that everybody can't be passionate like you. Understand that, you know, if you need to find that thing to be comfortable, you have to open up to someone who is passionate and say, look, I know you trying to get busy. I understand that. But can you work with me until I get comfortable enough to meet you on that level? Simple shit. Simple. And it's crazy because when I pick a topic, I pick it because I've read something or saw something that has happened within the time period since my last podcast. This one I was reading, I read something on the website. And I said, you know, let me take that and try to, you know, spin it into, you know, a topic. Because, like I say, it's so common that people don't understand it. And hey, trust me, I didn't get it. I had to learn it. It took a few years for me to learn. So I'm not saying that everybody should know that, okay, I need to change my way of thinking or my approach about something in order to make somebody comfortable. Nah, that comes with time. That comes with, you know, either you know or you don't know. And if you don't know, then you have to figure it out. Especially if it's one of those things where you like somebody, you really are feeling someone and you know that they don't match your intensity, but you want to be with them, you want to, like, you know, strive to have a relationship with them, then guess what? You're going to have to, like, okay, I need to change. I need to put aside who I am in the bedroom because she's not feeling it, or he's not feeling it. To wrap this thing up, man, I think comfortable relationships are the key to a lasting happiness. We can see that things improve when comfort replaces passion in relationships. Each party are happier, and sometimes they are more content. This shows that while love is vital in relationships, it's not the only thing that matters. Comfort can be just as, if not more, important. Relationship improves by focusing on comfort instead of passion, allowing us to communicate better and connect on deeper levels. We are finally We finally became the couple that we are supposed to be, by understanding that when it comes to comfort, we may have to replace it with passion. When it comes to being comfortable, we may have to replace our passion in order to have a better relationship. With that, I am going to wrap this up. I want to say thank you. I know I kind of like stumbled with this particular topic, but I got through it. Like I said, I am not an expert. I am not, you know, a person that does a lot of talking. It's just sometimes I feel like talking about relationships. And it just happened to be on the Wednesday and the Saturday night. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for just, you know, supporting the podcast, man. I can't express that enough. Thank you. Even there are times when I think that, okay, nobody's listening. People are listening. I want to say thank you. Anything you want to talk about, hit me up at whenhespeaksrobotic@gmail.com. Mind what you say, but long as you're respectable. And until the next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be careful out here in these streets, and I will talk to y'all next Saturday night.